Testimony to Metcalf Hare, 1898. It would be an impossibility for you to give an intelligent explanation of your course of action. Were you worked by the Holy Spirit, you would never, never pursue the course you have. The Lord does not endorse any such a course of action. Your overbearing words and independent, masterly spirit reveal that you are not the man to be commander. But your spirit leads you to treat your own brethren as though you were over them to command. You cannot do this, and we would not place you where you will be tempted to exalt yourself over others as a steward. Your manners and spirit are educating your children. We do not dare to have this kind of ordering and dictating on the ground. You counterwork that which we are trying to instill into the youth. You cherish very little respect and confidence in your brethren. You are developing the same spirit as your brother Joseph, and that spirit must not find expression on this ground. If you cannot, as a Christian, do the very things Christ has told you to do, then you will reveal yourself as not under control to God. You are educating yourself as a criticizer. You are an accuser of your brethren. And in the place of controlling this spirit, which is satanic in its origin, you are giving it free rein to hurt and to destroy. One or of two things must be. The light given me of the Lord is that the root of bitterness springing up in your heart is having a deleterious influence upon those you are associated with. You are injuring Brother Hughes so that both of you are gaining an experience which disqualifies you for superintending men or youth. Your words, your orders, your spirit provoke and stir up the worst feelings in the human mind. This is a place where you can do great harm, or you can do, if thoroughly converted, a good work is having a good influence. There are those on this school ground whom God loves and who serve Him and do Him honor. You are not appointed to measure your brethren or to dwell upon their mistakes. They have the infirmities of humanity but are beloved of God. Your constantly dwelling on their defects is a root of bitterness springing up in you, whereby many are defiled. You are spoiling your experience, and the Lord is displeased with you, because you will not be a safe counselor. Because of your great power as a criticizer and an accuser, you will not be a man that can cooperate with your fellow man. I tell you in the name of the Lord, you have not the Spirit of Christ, and you are not a doer of His word. You are not to dishonor God, speaking evil of anyone. You are controlled by another spirit, and I cannot for a moment call evil good and good evil. You are doing harm to Brother Hughes. He is catching your spirit to order and to dictate in his position. You both do not understand that all ye are brethren. Matthew 23, verse 8. The Lord God of heaven will not bless any such a spirit. Those who cannot treat those who are in mind and intellect fully equal with themselves as brethren and laborers together had better step down and out of any place of stewardship, for they will do great harm to the students and also to themselves. There is little to be gained in your board meetings because the spirit brought into them is an offense to God. Those who are not in the truth will be disgusted with your Christianity. And if there is no change, I tell you how it will be. Criticism will become a science with you. You ruin souls and spoil your own prospects for heaven by your own unconsecrated life. The Lord has connected with this school as laborers men who understand managing in a Christ-like manner and who are qualified by experience to do the labor required, possessing tact and keen, sharp perception to know what to do without being ordered. Have you brethren who are serving as stewards considered that you are under God's jurisdiction to give an account of your speech, your words, your actions? You are to cultivate no feelings of superiority. You are to feel that you are co-workers, and those who possess talent of intellect are in God's providence brought in connection with the school to change the order of your board meetings and committee meetings by having mind and judgment to give a certain voice to the measures to be pursued. They are to act apart, to be in councils, in board meetings, in committee meetings, and no longer are these meetings to be what they have been, for the Lord has been dishonored. What is needed most are meetings for seeking God and opening hearts to the love of Jesus Christ. If Brother Hughes does not break the spell that is upon him, he had better change his work for his own soul's good. He does not have the tact of linking up with his brethren. He has not openness, but reticence. And then, when he has a favorable chance, he thinks he is called of God to express his ideas and to hold to them. But one thing is certain. The managing elements need to be refined, purified, sanctified. They need to spend more time upon their knees. You look, brethren Hare and Hughes, upon your brethren without contempt and distrust. You cannot remain where you are unless the principles underlying your course of action are of an entirely different order. For men who have so little confidence and respect in their fellow men will never gain respect and confidence from those with whom they connect. When parents learn to obtain the confidence of their children, then the children love them. Even so, those who are to oversee the working of the students must win their confidence. They cannot do this by criticizing and judging and blaming them for their ignorance. God has nothing to do with such exhibition of unrenewed hearts. In all the great conflicts and competition of human society, the Bible is always on the side of the feeble, the ignorant, the injured, the friendless. The heart of God is touched with human weakness, and to those who may have anything to do with this class, the poorest, the lowest of his earthly children, he gives the deepest sympathy. He will be quick to resent any harsh words or any harsh spirit in dealing with them. All who have come to this summer school have come because they desire to learn. If the men who bear responsibilities on the school grounds are not qualified to deal with the most unpromising subjects for Christ's sake, they are not in the right position as educators. Let them step out. All who act a part in the sawmill, who profess to be Christians, are to be kind and courteous, to be patient, as Christ has been long-suffering with them. Just now, without delay, let them come under Christ's yoke and learn of Christ to be meek and lowly of heart. The minds of the youth must be uncontaminated. There must be no spirit to censure or to accuse and to think the very worst of people because they do not meet the idea of Brother Hare or Brother Hughes. The Lord is displeased with you both. You are spoiling your own experience. The Lord will not tolerate any such spirit as that which has been existing and strengthening. The Lord has placed us on this ground where we shall have much to do with the ignorant who need to be instructed patiently and kindly. They are the Lord Jesus' representatives on earth. Any kindness done to them, he writes in his record book as kindness done unto himself, for he identifies his interest with that of suffering humanity. When the poor are turned away with cold looks and a harsh spirit and cruel thrust of words that add to their affliction, the Lord Jesus Christ charges the same as done unto himself. The Lord Jesus Christ left his riches and his splendor in the heavenly courts and took humanity upon himself that he might cooperate with humanity in the work of uplifting them. He stooped to the very depths of human woe and misery, took the life of poverty for his life, and all the affliction of the world upon himself, wrapping them up in his own heart and binding them up with his own experience. Look to Jesus, all that are bitten with the fiery serpent of envy, of jealousy, of evil surmising, of accusing of the brethren. And now bear in mind that, according to Christ's own words, the favor and confidence and encouragement which multitudes would be glad to bestow on him in person, may be bestowed by giving these things to the poor and relieving the unfortunate. The poor ye have always with you. He will accept the favor done to these poor as if done to himself. Pour forth your compassion upon sinful, fallen humanity, not feeling in your heart that you could kick them away out of your sight, but consider they are the purchase of the blood of the Son of God. That which you do for suffering humanity in his name, he will receive as if done for himself. These are the ministers that Christ honors.
But when men are brought in connection with men who are in every sense their equals, they are not, because they have a position of some responsibility to treat their brethren as servants. They are to be taken as your co-workers, and they can educate you to do many things better, more successfully, than you are now doing them. We must humble our hearts before God and not help the devil in his work to make the lot of the poor hard and trying. It is hard enough for the poor to feel that they are poor and bound about with poverty. Their life is one of getting barely enough to just live, and no prospect of anything better, receiving little pay and no praise and no encouragement. God help the poor. Give them all the help possible. Relieve them. Bring gladness and some comfort and love into their life. The Lord will not bless his people on this ground until a different spirit is in them. We all need more love, more tender pity, more compassion, and to cultivate confidence in one another.